Blog Talk Radio.
Ray and Tay today. Yes, Sports Radio's on. Talking sports with friends, and you know we got it on. From the NFL to the NBA, MLB and college hoops do it all day. College football, we know who's number one. Understand, on the phones, you know we get it done. So call in 718-664-9098 and we'll give you more.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. You're listening to Ray and Tay today, and I'm Ray, Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor, and we are hyped up on this holiday Monday to talk some sports. Give us a call, 718-664-9098. Like always, send us your emails, your info, your sports talk advice to rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Tweet at us. Check us out and subscribe on YouTube at Ray and Tay Today. Tweet at us at Ray and Tay Today. You know, Ray, we got to get the Instagram and the cyber dust going for the fans, man. That's the next step for Ray and Tay. We're trying to be everywhere. Facebook us too, man. So, Ray, you know, we got the NBA. We got the college hoops. We'll talk about all the tidbits and everything else going on towards the end of the show. But I got to start off, how do you feel our city, New York City, did hosting the NBA All-Star Weekend and all the events and just how everything went down? What were your thoughts?
I think they did a great job. I think that the NBA, look, if they didn't get this right, then the NBA would have a problem. It's in their backyard. It leverages New York, Manhattan, and Brooklyn, and they spread it out over two venues. And they had, obviously a year to prepare. Yeah, which was really smart. I thought they did a great job with the entertainment. I thought they did a great job with bringing back some of the old classics, like the dunk contest, simplifying it. The three-point shooting contest had a lot of contestants in it. And I think that just the weaving of the entertainment with the sports, being in New York, being the capital of basketball and entertainment, and the NBA's headquarters, I think they did a great job. Nothing but kudos for the NBA. It turns out that we talked about this a little bit off air. It turns out that they got crushed by Saturday Night Live on the ratings on a Sunday night. But you know what? That's a special telecast, 40th anniversary. We'll get into that a little bit.
Yeah,
but overall,
can't be that.
NBA thumbs up for the NBA. I thought they did a great job. I thought the sparkle was back. We'll talk about specifics, but it was fun. It was fun, and I think they did a good job.
Right, and even on the sidebar, I think the thing that was great about it, that they do better than all the sports. One, you know, they're very much, the players are very much, big into new commercials, dropping sneakers. Steph Curry, you know, dropped his new sneakers with the Under Armour. They're big into Fashion Week, and Fashion Week was on, and big into fashion. I thought they did a great job with that, with their NBA style and having, you know, the head guy at GQ a part of it. And, you know, they really just grasp it in such a way. And what's great is, you know, they feed NBA Cares, does the programs where they go around the community and feed people. They work on building, up schools and the gyms and outdoor playgrounds. So they do so much when they go to a town. Next year is Toronto, so that'll be great too. But it's just so much that happens, and it's the whole week. And I think, after his first year and his commissioner addressing everything, Adam Silver also did a great job by this year giving these guys off to, you know, four games on Thursday night, two games, four teams, and then everybody comes back mainly Friday and Saturday. So them getting the full rest because of the schedule being so crazy, the back-to-backs and the four games and five nights, and then him even saying, look, they're probably going to cut down the preseason, and next year they might start the season October 15th. Which is just smart because most of the players, they are run down. And, it is too much. I mean, the grind is crazy. But this was a huge weekend. Ray, one of my favorite parts, and I just want to talk to you about it and us talk to our audience, because growing up and playing in New York and playing ball And I thought the way that they did the Legends breakfast on Sunday morning, and they honored Dr. J, and they honored Kareem and Willis Reed, and I thought it was so great. And they had this panel, and I don't know if you saw it, but it was Kenny Smith, Chris Mullin, Tiny Archibald, Bernard King, and Clyde Frazier, the only non-New Yorker, but, you know, very entrenched in New York, playing for the Knicks and winning. But they talked about, you know, just the street ball, the tournaments, and how it all connected. And, you know, listeners don't know, we grew up on Upper West Side, but we grew up in a very historical neighborhood even a basketball court. Where we played at is the GOAT, for Earl Manning GOAT, a street ball legend that people know about, and they even spoke about and mentioned him. But also it's, you know, the home to Rocksteady Park and, you know, Rocksteady Crew for hip-hop. So, you know, it's just so great to see them intertwine, you know, a Big O is there, Oscar Robertson and Bill Russell. And, you know, you talk about the nominations for the finalists for Hall of Fame. What did you think about that? Because I thought it's great. Finally, Spencer Haywood, who basically started the whole thing where, you know, you don't have to go straight to college. Calipari, Mutombo, KJ, Tim Hardaway. Give us your thoughts about the Legends weekend and the breakfast and just New York City all together.
You know, I think, again, like you said, they did a great job of weaving in the New York City element to it, being in the city. I thought it would be very interesting to see what they do in Toronto next year, because it's really hard to surpass this, especially given the sentimentality of New York and basketball in New York and so forth. I forgot that they had an All-Star game here in 98. So it's not like it's been that long, but I forgot.
But
that was Jordan's Yeah, that was Jordan when he was coming back and just, I guess, finishing up his third championship, right? That would have been the third one of the second three-peat, right before San Antonio won in 99 in that strike-shortened season.
But yeah, anyway, and Kobe was a young pup.
Yeah,
Jack,
Kobe
was there. It was great. Grant Hill.
Yeah. But you're right, though. The NBA really does it right and does a better job than most leagues and maybe any other league in weaving in their, you know, their old players and their Hall of Famers. And, you know, they call the MVP of the finals the Bill Russell Award, and he's still there giving it out. You know what I mean?
And right. Like somebody said, their legends are not dead. It's not like Babe Ruth and, you know, Otto Graham or, you know what I mean? Like, that's kind of great in that sense that you have that, you know?
Yeah, and the other thing that stood out for the NBA is the fact that they are trying to be more, you know, like a family and inclusionary and keep the lineage and help the old guys talk to the new guys, you know, facilitate it. And all the old guys were courtside, and they were all there in the Hall of Famers along with, you know, the media types and entertainment types. But it seems like the NBA wants that continuity where the new guys – know the old guys, respect them, interact with them, and even if it's just a special event, but there's this whole notion of the NBA family. And, you know, again, I think they got a particular bonus that it was in New York, and I want to see this go on, you know, when they go to other cities. But I thought that was great. I thought that was great to see these old guys. And you know, and I don't know if it's just for the cameras. I hope it's not. But it seems like these young guys really respect the old guys and respect them even more when they sit down and they talk to them and some of them talk about, you know, what they went through
legit.
And segregation.
You'd have to be in awe. Think of it, though. You'd have to be in awe because you watched all this stuff just like we did, and we didn't play in the NBA, but to imagine to watch them and then to get to play how they played, whether it's a Dr. J or, you know, Jordan, Vince Carter, but then the GOATs, right? You've never seen Oscar and Kareem and Russell for some of the real, real young kids. And so they get to meet them, and they're like, you know, Kareem still has the record. Bill Russell still has 11 titles. So it's like, you know, you just want to touch them. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's all real. Yeah, they eat it up, man. Who wouldn't, right?
Yeah, and like I said, you know, at first, I wasn't sure how it was going to work because, you know, if you're younger than we are, if you're 25, you're Steph Curry, his father was an NBA player. If you're, Klay Thompson's father was an NBA player too. I'm trying to pick somebody that's just, you know, random. If you're like DeMarcus Cousins, you know, and you're 20, what is he now, 23, 24 years old, and Bill Russell comes and talks to you about being a big man, you're so far removed from Bill Russell. You know, Bill Russell played 40 years ago, and yet you're still maybe even 50 years ago, and you're still it looks like these kids really enjoy it and really appreciate it. And that was cool. That was really cool because, you know, these young kids could easily check out. They'd be like, look, that was a different era. That's not how we ball today. That's not how we do it. But it didn't seem that way. It seemed like the young kids were all about, you know, hanging out with these legends. And that was pretty cool to watch as a fan.
Yeah. And, you know, one thing that I think is great, obviously, with the whole New York City aspect, people don't realize, and I know some old legendary stories. I mean, for me, like JoJo White getting nominated for the Hall of Fame, I thought that was great. My uncle was in the Army with Sam Jones, and I know for, you know, with Black History Month, and I know for African Americans back in the day, the Celtics were, you know, were it because they had more black players than most teams. And to have Sam Jones and Tom Stach Sanders, Bill Russell, JoJo White, Casey Jones, you know, I know, you know, even with my father having season tickets at the Knicks, he was a Celtics fan, you know, then a Knicks fan. And so it's so fascinating because these guys, they hung out in Harlem. You know what I mean? Like, that's how my father was friends with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar from Power Memorial. He used to come up to the bars on 158th in Amsterdam and, you know, knew my father, and Will Chamberlain hung out there, and he, you know, my aunt hung out with him. And it's just so amazing. There's so much lineage and connections that still exist, you know, and you almost, I was talking to my aunt about it. I was like, oh, she needs to write a book. She's telling me about hanging out with George Gervin and Will Chamberlain, you know, at the bars, and, you know, my dad coming in and other guys. And it's just so amazing. And so I think a lot of fans don't know about that. And I think it's just fascinating. And then how we joked about it last episode, but you and I, we at 44 have such history with the Garden because we knew Peter Vesey before he was on TV and Dave Sims. And, you know, we had Peter Vesey on our show, but at the Garden, I mean, we were there for Dr. J, Magic, Kareem, you know what I mean? We, you know, I mean, it's like we had conversations with these guys and, you know, talk smack to them. So I think it's amazing to see these Hall of Famers. You know, you remember Patrick's first game when he got drafted. And, you know, it's just great. And I think, obviously, it's got to spread around, and it will be in Toronto. Portland wants to bid for it, but they don't have enough hotels, the commissioner was saying. So it's kind of hard if you're not a major, major city to kind of host everybody. So it'll be interesting to see where it bounces, you know, next and stuff like that. And you wonder, would they ever do it in Vegas? Especially with the commissioner being open and being the first commissioner to talk, you know, and be smart, right? We know the elephant in the room about gambling. And I think the owners and players, it's going to get legalized just like the states are doing with marijuana. And it makes smart, you know, business sense to jump in ahead of it so that when gambling becomes legal, you're making money from it, not just the states, which will need it, but also the leagues. And so they control it so it never taints the game. And I think Adam Silver is going to be in the forefront of that. And I applaud him for that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it also helps that the Maloofs are there, and they've been pushing for years about the NBA moving to Vegas or at least doing things in Vegas. If not having a team, at least having, you know, they obviously have Summer League down there. You know, our boy Ted loves him some Summer League.
Yeah, I'm trying to go to Summer. I need Ray to come out and fly out with me, baby. It's Summer League is fun.
Man, it's too hot to be in Vegas in August. Yeah, I go to Vegas in April.
It's July. Come on. You can handle it.
No, but you're right, though. But you know what? Let's talk about the games. Let's talk about what happened in All-Star Weekend. We got a lot of action to recap.
Well, listen, the world beat the U.S. I thought that was exciting and fun. Obviously, I didn't see all of it. I was out celebrating Valentine's Day with wifey, but the celebrity game, the highlight for me, you know, of course, Kevin Hart gets MVP again, and he's just ridiculous. I saw his movie. He's the funniest person on the planet, and him and Will Ferrell got a movie coming out together, my two favorite guys. That's going to be funny as ever. And Monet Davis, though, took him to the hole and spun him, baby.
I saw that.
Oh, she's
I
great.
Saw that. Monet.
You know, and that's
she's
so great.
Athlete, I tell you what, I wouldn't be surprised if her goal is to play for Connecticut.
Huh.
If Gino Auriemma, says, hey, I got my eye on this girl. She looks like a great athlete.
How good do you think Wiggins and Giannis, Oladipo, some of these young guys, that freshman and sophomores, Mirotic, the world won, and I picked them. I thought they would. I think you went with U.S., but the NBA is in good shape, Ray. Remember, there's over 100, I think it's 113 European or over, not just European, international players in the league. So that's the most we've ever had, and it's just great to see. I like it. You know, too many three-pointers, and we'll get to that in the All-Star game. 133 pointers, ridiculous. But I think the game is getting away from the isolation. It's more pick and roll, pick and pop, you know, three-point, and then, you know, obviously breaking somebody off the dribble. But it's very entertaining. And so I thought the world versus U.S. was a good thing. And I hope they keep it next year.
Yeah, and the trend is for more and more international players. So it doesn't look like thing is going to reverse itself, right? It's not like they're going to hit the wall. And it's funny because the game is becoming more and more international in that you've got this whole notion of the stretch big man. And a lot of that came from international play. So we'll see how the game develops. But, yeah, I think this international element has something to it. I think it has legs because freshmen and sophomores was good for about, 5-10 years, and now you throw the element of international in there. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah. You know what I love, actually? The feeling of Saturday night to me was definitely victorious. I think I was hyped up because it was New York and, you know, being, you know, away from the city and being in Scottsdale and being in Arizona, but it's still – there's that energy that, you know, New York fans, we know the game better than most fans, and we pay attention to the crossover or the great assist or, you know, the ill pass, you know, like Steph Curry was doing in the game. And I liked seeing Bosch and Dominique and Swin Cash, you know, win again their shooting competition, you know, and then the amazing performance from the sleeper of, you know, brought in last minute, Patrick Beverley, who, you know, kind of like was like, hey, I'll take out you, I'll beat Knight, I'll beat Teague, and he wound up winning the skills competition with all the guards. I thought that was really fun this year because they were on the course together. What did you think about, you know, those two events?
I loved it. You know what always bothered me a little bit is how the skills competition is downplayed. I feel like the NBA doesn't market that enough. Because
right.
You hear about the three-point shooting contest and the dunk contest as being the two, you know, marquee Saturday events. But I really like the skills contest. I think it's pretty fun. I think it's pretty cool, especially as somebody who grew up playing basketball. You're thinking, well, you know, I used to do all these things or some of these things as a kid and in practice and whatever. And the other thing about it is this is stuff that people can do. You know what I mean? People can't necessarily catch half-court alley-oops. You know, and dunk it, but you can do the things in the skill competition. You might be slower than Jeff Teague and slower than Patrick Beverley, and you might not be as skilled at dribbling the ball, but this is all little man stuff like that mainly guards do. This is stuff that you could do. So I feel like the NBA could market that a little better. But anyway, it was very fun. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, I think they will, and it was, you know, obviously a lot of the bigger names had dropped out of it, John Wall and Lillard and – you know, but it was still a lot of fun and happy for Beverly to win. Brandon Knight was pretty good, but Beverly, you know, like he did in you know, the semis and the finals, he came back from behind and, you know, he hit that shot. So good for him. And he won. And then a 3-point, Ray, I think it was better than even the hype. And that never happens hardly ever in sports. And I mean, when you saw, you know, Kyrie and remember Wes Matthews had his 22 and then Curry comes along with it and hits the 23 and then Klay Thompson's like, yo, I got 24. I mean, you can't believe that Bellinelli and Kyle Korver at 18 didn't even sniff the finals. You know what I mean? So that was so great. And then with the final three, I mean, Curry went off. That 27 was nasty. And I just thought the whole thing was so exciting. Obviously, I think I went with Korver and had, you know, I thought him and Clay and Matthews would be the final three. So I was, you know, a little off. But Curry, man, he's a bad boy. He's a bad boy, Ray.
He really is. And you can tell how good of a shooter he is just by his comments. He said, "It's my fourth time in this event, and I lost all three times," meaning he comes out thinking he's the best shooter on the court and he needs to win this thing. So his expectation is, I'm winning this thing. I'm the best shooter in the game, and I'm the best of these eight guys, and I'm going to win this, and anything short of that is a disappointment. So this guy has all the confidence in the world. He's got all the skills in the world. He's got the genetics. You know, it's all good. So he has his commercial.
Did you know his mother was a volleyball player? Did you say that?
I knew she was an athlete. I knew she was an athlete.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Del Curry and I don't know the mom's name, but they should be making babies. They should just go out and make like 10 kids. Just put one in each sport. Like, you know what I mean? Like
well,
make a baby
for
football, for baseball.
I feel bad. Seth, you know, a little bit even smaller than Stephen. He had a cup of tea with the Warriors and the Bobcats last year and, you know, tried to get on. He hasn't really stayed on with a team, and maybe, you know, he'll be able to make it. But he, you know, played at Duke and definitely was a good shooter, not quite as good as his brother. But you hope that he keeps trying and maybe that he'll make the league. Because remember, we did our segment on NBA brothers. And forget it. And listen, and soon to come, the Knicks might have one of the piece of the Antetokounmpo brothers, because Giannis's young brother, Thanasis, is with the Knicks. So I look forward to that. I mean, you know.
Well, the Knicks have a roster spot now that Amari Stoudemire got bought out.
Yes, yes. We'll get to that. All right. So, honey, let's talk about the dunk, and then we'll get into the rest of that stuff. So then the dunk, we both went with Victor O. I knew Zach would be ridiculous. I didn't know he'd be this ridiculous. I think he brought it back, and I think what Victor was trying to do, and he did get the 150, he brought it back, but Zach getting 250s and being so nasty that his third dunk was, like, underrated with 45 because it was ridiculous. The kid's hops are absurd, and next year, I think when he defends it, going up against his teammate in Canada against Wiggins, it's going to be the sickest contest. I just can't wait. And I thought that his flair, his swag, Plumlee was horrible. Giannis was okay. Victor could be back in it again. He showed himself well. He's just got to make him, right? But Zach was crazy, yo. That was crazy. I was hyped.
There's a reason this guy was a McDonald's All-American. There's a reason why this guy was so highly recruited to UCLA. There's a reason why after a freshman year that wasn't even that great, he was a first-round pick. This guy is a phenomenal athlete. And you know, he's a good basketball player too, right? But first and foremost, he's just a great athlete. And this athleticism was on display in full effect on Saturday. So I looked at this guy and I was like, wow, this guy just has athleticism oozing out of him. I mean, like a la Russell Westbrook, a totally different game, right? But this guy is just so athletic and he just jumps with ease and he went behind his back and threw his leg just so easy. It was like, you know, I don't remember, frankly, a dunker like that. That it looks so easy for him, you know, and maybe that's just that tall. I mean, he's not that tall, but like that skinny, lanky, you know, type of look. I mean, I mean, even when Rick Barry won it, you know, John Barry, sorry, no, not John, what was his name? Brent Barry. Brent Barry. He's that same kind of body type, that like skinny, real lean, but he looked like he was not nearly as ease. Like, it just looks so easy. When Zach was up in the air, it just looked so easy for him. Like, he was floating.
and he was still rising. That's what was so crazy. He was dunking on his way up in flight. And remember, like when you talked about the ease, you're so right in the sense that so many things could go wrong when he was throwing it behind, when he twirled it behind his back in the air. Like it could have hit off his butt. It could have got caught in his jersey. You know what I mean? Like to do that so fluidly, it was insane, and still threw it down with such like power and grace. I thought it was bananas. Like, yeah, he's the real deal. And he said he left a couple of dunks on the table. So you know cats are like hyped up for next year to see what he's, you know, what else he's going to do. Because that's crazy.
Well, it's so funny because he might not even be the best athlete on his own team. You know, Andrew Wiggins is ridiculous too. So, yeah, I'd love to see that. Plus, in Canada, you know, I'd love to see that next year. And expand it back to six or whatever. I'd like to see more dunkers in the first round and then narrow it down.
Right. Yeah, I don't like the four. I definitely want a little bit more. I was trying to tell my oldest son that it used to be eight back in the days, you know, and then
Where's
they
Terrence
went six.
Where is Terrence Stansbury?
Ooh, don't talk about my bad. Terrence Stansbury was nasty. Larry Nance. I mean, it used to be, you know, it was crazy, man. I mean, we saw, and you remember when, you know, people forget, like, so he won it and he was 19. Yeah, guess what? Kobe was in it and won it at 17. You know what I mean? And so at 18, sorry. And, you know, that's what's so great about it. Everybody used to do it. And I think LeBron, honestly, he only hurt himself because as great as his brand is, the funny thing is he would have come in and won. I mean, you saw some of his dunks in an All-Star game were just ridiculous. You've never seen such power and speed in a human like LeBron. And I think he just missed the opportunity. And now it's too late, 11 years in. He's not going to do it. But, you know, that's something he'll regret because I think the guys who did it, they loved it, man. They had fun. You know what I mean? It was like, you know, it was
right
great.
Right of passage. You know, you all the great that were, you know, that kind of athlete, right? You're not going to see Tim Duncan. You're not going to see Larry Bird. You're not going to see some of these other guys doing it. But all those guys that were mega, mega stars and great athletes did it. You know, Kobe. And even Kobe was not really a dunker. You know, Michael and Dominique were dunkers, right? But Kobe's not really a dunker, but he did it. He did it because, you know, it was part of being a great, you know, leader and a great ambassador for the NBA. So,
yeah. And McGrady and Carter. I mean, Carter, I think, if we're being honest, because we love Jordan so much and the flair and Dominique and just back in the days and Dr. J, but I think a lot of people feel that our boy, the Tar Heel, Vince Carter, might be the best dunker ever. I mean, obviously, what he did in that one dunk contest, you know, will go down as, you know, some of the best dunks ever. And it was just ridiculous. But I think it's great. The kid did a great job. Now, going to the game, I felt like you were going to see, you know, it started off where Harden and LeBron were going at it. I thought Clay might be able to step up. Him and Steph didn't have great games. You know, it was more like Cousins and LaMarcus Aldridge, more the veteran CP3, you know, Westbrook. Melo was horrible. I'm not so caught up in the hype of, 30 minutes and he shot bad. Look, you know, if he wasn't going to do further damage and he played, yeah, I thought he'd play 5 to 7 minutes maybe. But, you know, whatever, he played. I thought maybe he just hurt the team a little bit because he couldn't really move so well. So we'll see if he's going to have surgery soon, if he plays another game or two. I don't get caught up personally in the hype. I saw it in the game, though, and you know how I felt about Russell. And even before we ended the show, I said, well, you never know. Russell could get on one of them crazy, you know, spurts. And what he did, look, it's exhibition. Nobody plays defense. But, Ray, it was great to see because I think he's had two different injuries in the last couple of years. And to see him healthy and at his best, he's like a pit bull out there, man. So I was really happy for him. We both picked the West to win. I thought it was fun. LeBron was great. The four Hawks together were great, you know, moments of Kyrie. I don't know. I enjoyed it. You know, too many three-pointers. Kyle Korver looked good, hit his threes. 133, six records were tied or broken. But 133 three-point attempts, Ray, What do you feel? That's a lot, right?
Too much.
It's too
I feel
much.
Like that's why we kind of predicted it. We said, look, a guy who's got the ball in his hand a lot and a guy who shoots a lot, a la Harden, Westbrook, LeBron, you know, that's the only guy that's going to win it these days. You know, the big men just look so out of it. You know, the only big man that could do anything was a guy like LaMarcus Aldridge who could on a pick and pop or who could just flat out shoot it from 17.
But how about
himself.
Dirk? Dirk caught the dunk. That was the
oh my
Dirk
God.
The dunk.
He caught the dunk and then he did the whole pointing in the sky. That was very funny. Everybody laughed. Yeah, the big men are just totally taken out of the game, which to me is unfortunate because granted, Dwight Howard wasn't there, but there are some really good big men that I'd like to see. You know, and this game, unfortunately, takes out the fours and the fives. You know, you don't get to see DeMarcus Cousins. Tim Duncan and Dirk are old, so, you know, I don't know if they even want to go for so many more minutes. But, you know, there's guys out there, there are big men, Al Horford, Paul Millsap, no chance to do anything in this kind of game. It's become a guards game, this All-Star game. So, unfortunately, if you want to see big man play and the Gasol brothers, and you know, no chance. It's all about the guards. It's all about
the
people that have the ball in their hands.
Seeing them with the tip-off, that was kind of great.
That was fun. That was cool.
Their family must be so proud. I mean, you know, that's the greatest combo of brothers ever, you know. So that was insane to me, you know.
Yeah, when you can see your two kids, think about that if you're the parent in Spain. You can see your two kids jumping center for the East, starting on the East and the West. That must just, I mean, there's nothing better. There's no, I mean, an NBA Finals maybe, but other than that, there's nothing better. That's pretty cool as a parent.
So before we get to the, some of the buyouts and then a lot of the trade rumors, the deadline's on Thursday, so we'll be back on Friday. And then I think next week we'll have Ian Bagley, who covers the Knicks and ESPN New York, come on and, you know, just sum everything up with the trade and talk some Knicks and stuff with us next week. But two things. One, did you kind of miss or did you feel like you missed someone like a Derrick Rose or Dwayne Wade and a Kobe Bryant, guys that we have been used to seeing? Obviously, you know, D. Rose has been hurt, but especially Wade and Bryant. And then tonight, you got the Kobe Bryant interview, which to me will be fascinating because Kobe doesn't talk so much. And he sat down with Ahmad Rashad at 9 o'clock. So that'll be kind of fun on NBA TV. But did you feel like you missed them a little bit, D. Wade and Kobe?
I do. I feel like it was a little bit of star power missing because if you think about it, you know, there were the four Hawks who were all pretty much borderline, you know, first timers and Kyle Lowry and a few other people that made it. But there were perennial guys. And then, I guess Nowitzki and Duncan being there, you know, gave it some more, you know, oh. But you think about it, Dwight Howard as a perennial all-star wasn't there. Kobe Bryant, perennial all-star wasn't there. Dwayne Wade, perennial all-star wasn't there.
And then the young pup, Anthony Davis, who was hurt, who we both want to see.
And Davis, maybe the second or third best player in the game wasn't there. So those are four guys that either will be there for the next 10 or 15 years or have been there for the last 15 years. So there was a little bit of that star power missing. And, you know, it's funny because I don't know this is the passing of the guard because I don't know that Kyle Lowry and the four Hawks are going to be there next year. They're all good players, but, you know, who knows? They might not even make the team next year. So there was a little bit of missing. Star power was missing, but that's okay. I mean, it was still crazy entertaining. A few too many threes, but very fun to watch.
Let me ask you this before we leave this, because you brought up a good point about that. I had a weird feeling. Like, to me, LeBron and Westbrook, you know, obviously Durant was hurt, so he couldn't do it, and so was Melo. So that, you know, you kind of missed. But I almost felt like, and Harden did really good for a bit, but I felt like Klay Thompson and Curry, I didn't feel like they had their imprint on the game, even the way, you know, CP3 wound up with like 20-something or 15 assists. John Wall was pretty good. But, like, do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like there's stars, and I feel like some of these young guys aren't ready to sort of dominate. Like, Klay Thompson, you almost didn't notice he was there. Does that make sense? Like, compared to a LeBron, Harden, and CP3 still. I felt like I wanted a little bit more from the Splash Brothers in the game. So that was just something that I noticed when I was watching it, because I wanted to see, you know, and Curry did have a couple fancy passes, so I give him credit for that. And it was funny, Steve Kerr saying, hey, I got to play. You pass it in and pass it to him, and you pass it to him, and then you shoot. Like, that was funny. He didn't take it too serious, his first time coaching an All-Star. So, look, overall, everything was great. You know, and the backdrop of it being in New York, and then let's get to it. The deadline's Thursday. The Knicks have the buyout of Amari. Looks like he's going to Dallas to play with Chandler, and I think he's from that area. Would you like to see him?
Oh, he's from Florida.
Oh, he's from Florida. Okay. But it looks like he's going to Dallas. Would you like to see him there or with the Warriors or Grizzlies or Clippers? Where do you think he fits the best? Obviously, in Dallas, they play pick and roll, and they can use him off the bench scoring. What are your thoughts on Amari and where he's going to go? I miss him. I'm going to miss him as a Knick. He came when we needed him, and even though he was damaged goods, we all kind of knew it, I think he gave us his all. And that first year, he was a beast. Him and Ray Felton, that first half of the season of the first year he was there, he was the MVP, Amari, to me. He was a beast. So I thank him. I'll miss you, Amari.
He was, and it's funny because he kept saying, you know, my heart is in New York. I'm always being a New Yorker, which I thought, wait a minute, you put in more time in Phoenix and almost went to an NBA Finals if it wasn't for a little Boris Diaw hip check, or Robert Horry, sorry, hip check. But I would say this about Amari. Like we said on the last show, his skills are in demand because he's so unique at 6'10". To be able to shoot like he can and give you offense off the bench. The team that needs him the most is the L.A. Clippers, because that team needs a bridge to when Blake Griffin comes back. But I don't think that's the best fit for him, because I don't know that he is ready to play those minutes. Because if he starts, then he'll basically only play the first quarter and the fourth quarter, and not much in between, because I don't know that he can go from 15 minutes
a night from him. That's the most you want.
Right. So in that case, you don't want to go to a team that doesn't have Blake Griffin. You want to go to a team that does have Blake Griffin, and they don't need you as much, which is why I think Dallas is the perfect fit. I mean, I think San Antonio is a great fit, too, because of just Tim Duncan's age and Boris Diaw, and he really complements those two. But to me, Dallas is probably the best fit. So if you think of a three-man rotation between he and Dirk and Tyson Chandler, that's pretty sweet. And I think that that's a place where he wants to play. He's played with Nowitzki. I mean, he's played with Dirk. He's played
Chandler
in the West. He's played he's played with Chandler before. He's played in the West against Dirk many, many times. So I think that that is probably the best fit that he wants.
And it makes sense, because remember, they don't have Brandon Knight, who went to Boston and then went to Phoenix. So they kind of still need some size,
Exactly.
Well, that'll be interesting.
So that's the best fit, I think.
Okay, well, that's interesting. A couple other things. There's some rumors, and then another buyout will be Larry Sanders. Now, he's had the drug issues, of alcohol issues, you know, and been suspended. But you got to believe, for even, you know, Clippers or Grizzlies or Warriors, a Larry Sanders, if he's right, could be a big piece, even a Portland, to help with the championship. Because Larry's young. He's not like Amari. He's not injured. And he's long, can rebound, block shots, you know, even give you hustle points. So that will be fascinating to see what happens with the Bucks and Larry Sanders. Would you see a lot of teams going for him?
Championship-level team, yes. Somebody that can go and just talk to him, and you know, San Antonio, I don't know if they want to deal with that, but say, hey, you know, your role is very well defined here. All you need to do is protect the rim and rebound. Anything we get from you on offense is gravy. And by the way, we're into winning a championship. We're going to pay you the veterans minimum because you were bought out. And if you mess up, we're just going to cut you. So, you know, he's probably almost a third strike, almost. His next strike will be his third strike. So he's got, you know, he's got to get his act together. But like you said, he's a young guy, 25 years old, and size is still size. And you know how the playoffs go, that the game gets slower. You play more half court, fewer possessions. You know, rebounding and shot blocking is at a premium. And a lot of teams.
Even the Cavaliers, honestly, Ray. The Cavaliers could use them. People forget, you know, you got Mozgov, but you lost Varejao. So when you look at their rotation of Kevin Love and Mozgov starting, but off the bench, it's really just Tristan Thompson. Sean Marion is really a tweener and older, so they don't really have a lot of size. Brendan Hayward never plays. So that's even a home. I think Cleveland could even be a potential spot instead of them signing a Ray Allen, which they don't really need with all those two guards they have. You know what I mean?
No, you bring up a good point. Look, it's hard to say that of the 16 qualifying playoff teams, there's probably 10 of them that could use a Larry Sanders, 12 of them that could use a Larry Sanders, right? He, again, another guy with a skill set that you don't find that much in the NBA anymore. That's a skill set of, you know, 15, 20 years ago.
Right. So a couple of rumors I'm going to throw out to you, what you think about them. We spoke about it last show, obviously, with the Rockets and Lakers looking at Dragic, and we both believe that the Suns, you know, they'd rather trade Isaiah Thomas, but because of contract issues and stuff, they probably will move Dragic, which is a shame. And out here, he's beloved, and I think he's very talented. But two others that have been fascinating that they're getting some traction. The Celtics are in both of them, that they're talking with the Nuggets about maybe getting a Ty Lawson, and that they might be talking to the Kings to get DeMarcus Cousins. What do you think about those? You think the Celtics are trying to sort of rebuild quickly Danny Ainge, if he could pull off both of those?
So I don't understand why Denver and Sacramento would trade their best players, because if you take Boogie Cousins away from Sacramento and you take Ty Lawson away from Denver, what does Boston have? I mean, Boston will give you high draft picks, but you're going to have high draft picks too. So it's not like, what are you going to do? Double down on the draft? I mean, maybe you have to do that in the West, because you figure even with DeMarcus Cousins, we're not going anywhere if we're Sacramento, because the top six or seven teams, not only except for San Antonio, the top six or seven teams in the West are young. And they're better than us, and we're not going to catch them unless we bring three good players on board.
But here's
right?
the one piece, Ray. I wouldn't move. If anything, I put other pieces around him. If you
I
want to get rid of somebody,
I
trade your boy McLemore and Rudy Gay. Don't and get rid of Jason Thompson, who wants to get traded.
Well, nobody. That's the problem is nobody wants Rudy Gay. Rudy Gay's been around the league too many times. People know his flaws, and they know who he is. So DeMarcus Cousins is really the only guy that's got, you know. But remember, DeMarcus Cousins was a top. What I forget where he was drafted, but he was a top five draft, top six draft pick. What are you going to trade him for another top six draft pick? Because you got to enter the lottery and hope that Boston's pick is old. You could do worse than DeMarcus Cousins. You know what I mean? I don't see anybody on Boston's roster that you even want if you're Sacramento. I mean, who are you going to get? Jared Sullinger, Kelly Olynyk? I mean, who do they have? They don't have anybody. Avery Bradley.
Mason.
I mean,
exactly. Mason.
So you know, to me, I'm not saying don't trade DeMarcus Cousins. I wouldn't. But if you're going to trade DeMarcus Cousins, you got to get me like Andre Drummond back. You got to get me somebody. You got to get me, you know, a big man who can play. You got to get me a young stud. You can't trade a guy that by talent might be the top two or three best, you know, centers in the league, most talented. And you know, he's doing 22-10 on a bad 23-10 on a bad team. This guy, I don't know. I think that's crazy. I don't know.
No, he's like 23 and like 13, I think, Boogie Cousins.
Yeah. We looked at
he's having a monster
right
season. So, honey, let's do this real quick. We'll leave the NBA behind and get to college before we talk about some of this off-the-field stuff. But Friday we come back on. How many – there have already been a bunch of deals. How many deals get done between now and Thursday, 3 p.m.? Just give me a number. I'll say, because there'll be a bunch of little minor ones, I'll say 7 deals, and 2 might be big.
Oof, 7 seems like a lot. But, yeah, I'll say 5 deals or so. Looks like Jermaine O'Neal is not ready to come back. I still think Dragic will be traded. I just don't think you could take that risk if you're pointing
that be the biggest,
to not get anybody.
You say Dragic will be the biggest guy traded?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk college hoops. Obviously, we kind of touched on it a little bit with the Legends talk and all that. You got to give, you know, props to these guys for the Hall of Fame, and we can, you know, focus on that another day. But Calipari, obviously, and, you know, I said Mutombo and Hardaway and all these other guys. But with Calipari, you know, he's still coaching. So that'll be, you know, fascinating if he winds up making it in. They're 25-0 this week. You know, they got Tennessee and and Auburn. When you're looking at the top 25, obviously we mentioned it on the show, and it happened, right? Pitt beat North Carolina, and NC State. Remember, I told you Louisville with that offense. NC State, they've beaten Duke this year. Well, they had another great win, and maybe they wind up sneaking into the tournament because we got to start looking at the seeding. But they, you know, not having a great season, but they take down Louisville, who just cannot score. Louisville, Texas, some of these teams, Ray, they have trouble scoring. You know, Virginia's 2, Gonzaga 3, Duke 4, Wisconsin 5. Everything's, you know, kind of much, you know, pretty much the same. Villanova, Arizona, Kansas. I thought what was interesting is, you know, Utah jumping up 9, and then 10, Notre Dame. But right there, Ray, I want to ask you about this. How about Northern Iowa, number 11 in the country? How do you like that, man? 24-2 in the nation.
You know what? I love it. And they made a run a few years ago where they had that that great shooting team and they took down Kentucky. I love it. You know what? More Cinderella's the better. And why not in February, right? Why do we have to wait till March? And if they're 24-2 and they're getting it done, so yeah, make them number 11, right? Yeah. Why not?
And then you got a 15-16 there. Tar Heels and my Terps, so you know I'm like, oh man. Listen, big game, obviously. We got to talk about it. North Carolina at Duke coming up. Talent-wise, you know, they're probably a little bit more equal than people would think. The Tar Heels have been up and down, 18-7, but, you know, 8-4 in the conference. Can they steal a win at Duke on Wednesday? You know, I mean, what are your thoughts about that? I mean, obviously it's driven by how Paige, I think, plays. And can they hold down Okafor, Bryce Johnson, and Meeks? What are your thoughts about this Duke-Tar Heel matchup?
Johnson, Meeks, Tokoro, they've got some size. They've got some athleticism in the front court. They can give Jahlil Okafor some problems. I think it might be too hard to play and beat them in Cameron indoor. They might be able to beat them on the last Sunday of the regular season, so that the first week in March when they're back in Chapel Hill.
Right.
Yeah. So maybe that's the one Carolina takes. But Carolina is an interesting team, you know, and we predicted it. You know, I said, look for Pitt to beat them. They can win against anybody. They could, you know, give Kentucky a run for the money. They can give Gonzaga a run for the money, and then they can lose to an unranked team. So this team last couple years has been tremendously inconsistent. They've been consistently inconsistent. And that's a scary team for a coach, both, you know, Roy Williams and Roy Williams' opponent, you know what I mean? Because you don't know which Carolina team is going to show up. And if Marcus Page is playing well, they're really, really tough. But if he's not, they can be very mediocre.
So the Big 12 kind of bounces back around, and you have, you know, West Virginia drop a little, Baylor moves up. I think it'll be interesting this week. You know, obviously we got West Virginia against Kansas. Then they have to battle against Oklahoma State, and you'll see how Texas and Baylor. I thought it was good to see SMU. You know, they, you know, had their big win, and they played Temple this week. So I think that they can only move up in the rankings. The same with Maryland; they only have one game this week against Nebraska. But SMU looking, you know, pretty good at 12-2 in their conference. I guess my question to you is, do you see teams like lower, you know, more the later top 25 or somebody out of it, could they, you know, get to that top 5, 6, or 7 good teams? And could we see a Butler or Arkansas in the Final Four, an SMU? Is there anybody that, you know, Ohio State has their freshmen? Do you see anybody that has the talent that's, you know, at a lower level, even at Texas, San Diego State, to put it together to get some points?
Well, you know we talked about Texas being disappointing, and I think Texas would be the one team that potentially has a chance to really, you know, surprise people, move up in the rankings.
Right.
Ohio State is interesting too, right? They're 8-7, I guess 8-5 in the Big Ten, but they have a star. You know, this kid D'Angelo Russell is a freshman star. I don't know how he got out of the state of Kentucky because he's from Louisville. But But he got out, and he's, you know, this kid is nice, right? I mean, I think he's averaging like almost 20 a game, 6 and 6 and 6. So he is the complete real deal. So if there's anybody that has like a little Carmelo Anthony in him that can put his team on his back.
Yeah, no, he's a stud.
That kid is nice. So watch out for D'Angelo Russell and Ohio State in terms of a lower top 25 team that could potentially make a run.
So it'll be a good week. So let's talk about some stuff off the field. I guess first, I got an issue with this. I'm going to go to baseball, Ray. The Yankees are talking about honoring Posada and Bernie Williams, maybe even retiring their numbers. But they did say today that they're going to retire number 46. And I think for Andy Pettitte, who did admit to HGH, and you got Chuck Knobloch sending out a tweet kind of ripping him about it. I don't know if it's the right idea for the Yankees to do that. I feel like they're starting to retire too many jerseys. I think that would be the number 18. You're going to do Jeter and Mariano. I don't know if Posada, Bernie Williams, and Pettitte are worthy. They were great Yankees, but really to retire their numbers forever, don't you think that might be a little too much? Pettitte only, what, 2 All-Stars, never a Cy Young, only 20 wins once. I don't know, Ray.
But he's got five. Wait, but he's got 5 rings, though. So
I know.
I hear you. I hear you. Is he the whole of very good, like, you know, in terms of Yankees, right? The bar is lower and higher at the same time, right? Because you're not saying he's a Hall of Famer. You're just saying he's one of the best Yankees. But then again, you know, that's Whitey Ford. That's Yogi Berra. That's
exactly.
Dave Ruth. That's Joe DiMaggio. You know, that's Thurman Munson. That's a boy.
Yeah.
So
say no.
Bernie Williams, Paul O'Neill, like all those guys that won and were borderline All-Stars, you know, were good players, borderline Hall of Famers. So that's Pettitte, you know, and Bernie and O'Neill. Those guys, I don't know. I have a hard time because Pettitte won. Put the drugs aside for a second. Put the HGH aside for a second.
Right.
5 championships, being a really, really integral part of those 5 championships, right? Does that put him over the edge? I don't know. Then you got to sprinkle in the HGH. So I think together I hear what you're saying. It's a tough
case. Well, think of it like this. Have we retired the number for Chris Chambliss, Bucky Dent? Did they do Nettles? And, oh, by the way, Jason Giambi announced his retirement. So I don't know. That's, you know, one of the big steroid guys, but was a good Yankee for a bit. It's just a weird feeling. I don't know. For me, I kind of want it to stay really special. So out of this great Yankee team, I'm only doing Jeter and Mariano, to be fair.
If the criteria is great, then you're right. Those are the only 2 great players on that team.
If you're retiring from 0 or from 1 to 99 and you got 18 guys, that's a lie. I don't think – I mean, that's a lot of numbers. I can't go ahead and –
You're going to see Yankees starting to get – numbers like 64.
Yeah. Come on, Ray. Be honest. You know it's too much. I love Andy, too. I love that team, but come on. And honestly, if I'm picking between Posada, Williams, and Pettitte, I'm going with Bernie, baby. Bernie Williams, 51. All day. So, look, let's talk about some football. Your boy is coming back. We knew he would, Peyton Manning. I think it will work out fine. I think it'll be interesting. Today's the first day that you can start franchise tagging guys. You know, we'll see if they're going to do Sue or Dez Bryant. You know, they have up until March 9th, so we'll stay on top of that. One thing I thought was interesting, I want your thoughts on this, Josh McCown, who we, you know, was released from Tampa, so they're definitely going to go get a quarterback. Jameis Winston said he might throw at the combine, which I applaud him if he does. It's a positive to me, never a negative. So kudos to him if he does do that. But Josh McCown went to go visit the Bills. No deal, you know, reached yet. But is that somebody that they should sign? because just relying on EJ Manuel, and you look at free agency, McCown to me is better than Mark Sanchez. I might scoop up Josh McCown real quick if I'm Rex Ryan in the Buffalo Bills. What do you think?
You know, he's a solid addition to the team, but your problem is the starter. You know what I mean? Who is your starter in Buffalo? You've got.
Do you trade for Kirk Cousins? Or try to trade for RG3? I mean, what do you do if you're Buffalo?
I tell you what, man. You look to see. I don't know. Is RG3 from Texas? He might be from Texas. I know he went to Baylor. You basically try to see if RG3 can throw in the cold weather. You look at his games and you try to see if he can play in the cold weather. I still think RG3 can be a star in the NFL. The only problem is I don't know that Rex Ryan brings it out of him. I mean, Rex Ryan will bring the competitive spirit out of him, but they need a quarterback's guru in there for him. So I would give him a personal quarterback's guru / bodyguard and say, you're my guy, and I'd go get him. I think Kirk Cousins is there's a reason he was a third-round pick. He wasn't even great at Michigan State. He's a good player. Maybe he's the 30th best quarterback, the 26th best
Cook,
quarterback.
Is Connor Cook better than him from Michigan State who will be in this year's draft?
I'll stick with Cousins. He's done some things in the NFL, but I don't like, you and I both said E.J. Manuel's not a, 15 or 16th pick in the first round coming out of Florida State. It's because you've devalued quarterback, or not devalued quarterback, but quarterbacks are cheaper, so it's not that much of a risk to take a quarterback and bust on him. It's not a DeMarcus Russell situation where you're locked in to $40 million. So, to me, they need a new quarterback. And depth at quarterback is fine, but if you have three quarterbacks, you have none. You need a star. They've got a defense that's a star. They've got two running backs who are, potentially, when they're healthy, are a great combo. They've got, now with the emergence of Woods, along with your boy, if he can stay healthy, your boy from Clemson, Sammy Watkins, and Chandler is decent. They've got to get themselves a quarterback because right now is when they need to take it down.
And then remember their first-round pick goes to Cleveland, so the Browns have two first-round picks too. So they're going to have to get a quarterback, I think, in free agency. And to me, I like McCown. Now, everybody's saying McCown will go be the backup to Flacco to follow Trestman in Baltimore. So we'll see how that all plays out. We'll talk about the combine. Starts Friday. You got Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Maybe Ray and Tay might have to run our 40s. Everybody's doing it. They said the commissioner's doing it with Run Rich Run, and he's doing it for St. Jude's. It's a good thing to donate to. They will help for cancer for children down in Memphis, down in Tennessee, Nashville, I think. So it's awesome, and might have to put on that might be fun. Maybe Ray and Tay have to run 40s and stuff and upload it. We'll see. But it's definitely fun, man. The combine and just how it all gets done, and to see if anybody, this kid Dorsett, if he can break Chris Johnson's time. Obviously, no one knows, but I think Deion's got the best time ever. But we'll see this Philip Dorsett if he can. Real quick, we're about to end the show, wind it down. Kevin Durant, great new commercial, the Esquire, the defense attorney for Sprint, him attacking the media. It was obviously more about Scott Brooks, but is it kind of like, Kevin, the media's giving you a lot of love. You only had one time you were really attacked in your local paper and the guy apologized. Was that, did KD go overboard? We love Kevin Durant, but
I thought he did, and I thought, yeah. What is? I mean, if you got the beef with Scott Brooks, and just say that, say Scott Brooks is our coach, leave him alone. We went to an NBA Finals with Scott Brooks. We got injured, me and Russell got injured, and we've lost some front court. Stephen Adams just got injured right now, so we're fine. Leave us alone. Give us time.
Yeah,
we'll get our groove back.
You know what it is, Ray? I think it's a lot of pressure on him. I really do, because after the MVP and then being compared to LeBron and, there's no pressure right now on Melo. So it's all about Durant. It's time for them to win. And them being injured and being outside of the playoffs and All-Star weekend and the fans didn't vote him in, I think it's just a lot right now. And he's frustrated because, one, he's not healthy. And then two, it's like, you know, don't talk about firing my coach. Scotty Brooks will be fine. We'll be fine. I do think they might go get Brooke Lopez though, Ray, which I think could really help.
He said that when we first knew he was on the market. He's exactly what they need, a big man
exactly.
that can score.
And then maybe they have to give up a Reggie Jackson and Percy Jones or whatever and a pick. But, you know, you do what you got to do. Keep Mitch McGarry, though. I think Mitch McGarry is going to be big in the playoffs. So
I like his hustle. Yes, absolutely.
Definitely. So, look, great show. It's going to be a great sports week. It's rivalry week in college hoops. Some great games, you know, and we'll be looking forward to it. We'll cover it on Friday. We'll get ready for the combine, college hoops, get back into the groove of NBA, and definitely big time talking NBA trades. So thanks for listening, and like always, it was fun talking sports with friends.
Have a great sports week. We'll see you on Friday.